This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Monday. Good morning and welcome. We're live on this beautiful sunny Monday morning. Hope you had a great Easter. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us. Did you have a better Easter this year than last year?
Absolutely. And I even think the weather was better this year. I think last year was kind of crummy. I'm trying to remember, but, you know, I think last year became such a blur of every day was the same almost, you know, in your bubble. But we got, it was nice. We got to see a couple of people we have not seen since the pandemic, you know, who are vaccinated and are safe to be out. And, you know, it was just, you know, one was an older resident, one's a really good friend of mine. And it's just so nice to be a little more normal.
Yeah, but yet we've got to still be careful. And I feel like the guy who's like sort of raining on the party, right? I mean, you got to keep reminding people we're not there yet. You know, what is there mean? Is that Memorial Day? Is that 4th of July? Is that, you know, fall? I don't think we really know. Cases are rising. People are concerned. The CDC, people that I've trusted, people I've watched from day one seem to think, hey, there's a little bit of a reason for an alarm here, even as we're getting all this good news and we're getting safer by the day. Some of these variants are looking ugly with younger people. We just told you about a 23-year-old who went to the NCAA tournament and died after, you know, getting home and getting very sick and going to the hospital and dying. This is still out there. It's still very dangerous. And yet you feel like you're just the guy raining on the parade.
Well, I mean, we're all sick of it. So, I mean, that's part of it. So, again, there's so much hope out there, Brian. It's, you know, we're getting vaccines in faster than we ever expected to. We're getting, I can't remember how many million people have now been vaccinated in the United States. It's still, percentage-wise, isn't that great, but it's more than we anticipated in the beginning. So, you know, there is hope out there. There is a solution. There is hope. But, you know, this variant, these variants are spreading, they spread so fast that, you know, people can't get a handle on it. So your best, you know, the best advice is to continue doing what we've been preaching for a year, which is, you know, wear the mask, wash your hands, stay away from people if you can, you know, get vaccinated for Pete's sake. You know, that is the best defense we've got going to get and the best offense for getting things back to normal.
Yeah, and I don't know what date it's going to be or if it ever is going to be the way it was. I mean, we don't know how long these vaccines are going to last. You know, I mean, how effective that's going to be. Is this like a once-a-year booster? You know, what's coming down the pike next? I mean, we're not out of the woods, but there's reason to be optimistic. I agree with you. I think they did 4 million vaccinations, you know, in one day, surpassing the record. So we're getting to this tipping point that you and I have talked about where we had a huge demand and a small amount to now a huge amount and a smaller demand. What can we do to convince people to do the right thing?
Well, I really think it's going to come down to it's still going to be their choice at this point. We don't know when things might be mandatory by some employers. You know, most healthcare facilities mandate that unless you've got a religious disposition or a medical condition that you must have a flu shot every year. And it may be the same for health providers with this vaccine. I don't know if that hasn't happened yet. But because we are such a global economy, I can see some of our major companies saying, you know, we've looked at this and we feel that it is in the best interest and the health of our population that we mandate that you get a vaccine. So it may be an employer-driven thing, and it may be, as we've talked about before, if you want to travel, if you want to see your grandkids, if you want to go to an event like a ball game, that you have to have proof of vaccination. I mean, some airlines, I believe, or some countries are making it mandatory that you have proof that you've got a vaccination. So, you know, before you can come in. So there are going to be other pressures other than, you know, now Decatur and the mayor sitting here saying every morning, Brian Byers and Julie Moore are telling you, you better get vaccinated. Well, it's going to be much bigger than us to get people to do it.
Yeah, I did notice what you just said happened last week, the announcement that ADM was going to be bringing people back to corporate offices, but the caveat was they're only bringing people back that have been fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're trying to ensure the safety of their employees. Their employees are a huge investment for them, and they need these people. They need them healthy, and they certainly don't want somebody to get sick from this virus. They were ahead of all of the rest of us as far as not allowing travel when this first started to happen, because they could see what was happening in China. And, you know, they put up the warning flares, and this was right when we got jet service back in Decatur, and the Chamber of Commerce had an event where several of us got to go on the first flight to Chicago and back. Some folks from ADM were supposed to be on that flight. They did not go. They were not allowed to. And it's like, oh, come on. It's just us, and we're going to Chicago and coming back. How bad could this be? And that was more my attitude than theirs. But, like, you know, we have a travel ban. So, you know, there are going to be other forces at work here. I think it helps that there are a number of marketing campaigns going on that the state is putting out, that the CDC is putting out, to try and convince people that the vaccine is safe, that it is something people really need to strongly consider if they haven't done it by now.
Mayor, we've got the election tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the pandemic. Maybe it's just because of the after effects of the presidential election last year and everything all the way through January 6th. I don't see anyone talking about it. And I'm sure it's in the candidates' world, you know, everyone's asking them and they're getting inundated. But just in general, have you ever recalled an election happening so quietly?
Yeah, I think back maybe about a decade ago, there was a really quiet, like the first time I ran for re-election on the council, there wasn't a burning issue. There wasn't much controversy at either the school district or the city. There was no, you know, referendum on the ballot. And so it was really pretty quiet, which is unfortunate because people don't, they don't turn out to vote anyway. Even if there is a burning issue, that's when you see big turnout of people. But, you know, this is a critical election every time. But to me, this is very, very critical. We've got 3 seats up. The school board has 4 seats up. Park District has 2 seats up and then one that vacancy they're going to fill. This is what touches your life every day. Every day it touches your life. And this is, you know, it's how your tax money is spent, the money that we get back from Washington and from the state of Illinois in getting that money, number one, and two, how it is spent in this community. So it's really, really important that people get out and vote. It's really weird this year, Brian. I don't even know how you campaign when there really aren't events. You know, the Chamber of Commerce just started doing their business breakfast again. The events and opportunities are pretty slim right now, where it used to be, you know, most, even in a municipal election that people don't pay a lot of attention to, there were opportunities for candidates to get out. There were debates, and different groups would have you come and talk to them. And there's still some of that going on, but a lot of the interviews, I think, have been done by Zoom, which it's a whole different thing. It's convenient for some, but it is really a difference than being able in a live environment to discuss issues. So I don't envy them, because it's hard. It's not easy anyway to get people to pay attention and get them out to vote. It's even harder this year.
All right. On Friday, the community event that was hosted by the Decatur Police Department, along with several other organizations, including the NAACP, the Department of Community Development, the Howard G. Buffett Foundation, and Decatur churches, they collected 220 plus guns.
Yeah, they had people lined up around the block to turn these guns in, and many of them were, things that people just had in their homes, and they're probably not what the gangbangers have out on the streets, but by the same token, it's guns off the streets. And, in a residential burglary, guns are stolen often. So it was a very good thing. We thank the Howard Buffett Foundation for helping support this. And, you know, people are always saying we've got to do something about this. Well, this was an effort to do something to get guns off the streets. And so we think it was a pretty big success. I don't think that the majority of these guns are used in crimes by any stretch of the imagination, but at least they are not where they could be obtained to be used in a crime.
Yeah, I think sometimes, though, Mayor, I would disagree with you. I think sometimes these are the exact guns that are used in crimes, because it's not like we watch way too much Netflix and movies where, you know, all these teenagers are armed with Uzis and all of this stuff. I mean, it is, as you said, residential burglary. People steal a gun. A gun gets passed along. And the next thing you know, some 16-year-old shoots another 16-year-old, at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so is it going to stop crime? No. Is the police chief trying to throw everything and the kitchen sink at this? Yes. And I think that we should be at least respecting that they're trying to do everything they can to eliminate any possibility they can of someone else being shot.
You are absolutely correct. And just by the response of the number of people, I was surprised at how many people came out to turn guns in. I really was. I knew there would be some, but, I mean, Brian, they ran out of money. You know, it was supposed to go all day, and they ended up getting more money, and it went another, I think, hour or so. But it was a pretty amazing response. So, you know, kudos to the police chief. Kudos to the NAACP. For putting this together, and again, our heartfelt thanks to the Howard Buffett Foundation for getting these. You're right. We have to do everything we possibly can to get a handle on the violence that is seemingly out of control in this community.
Yeah, and this alone isn't going to do it, but you do every single thing you can, and I think that's the
Absolutely.
Important part. Mayor, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Election Day. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.